ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in the first three Brahmanas. I hope you remember. Brahmana means a section. The very first chapter or every chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad has several sections and each section is called a Brahmana. So we have taken up the first two Brahmanas, very important, and we have to remember. I am not going through every mantra, only the very essential points and essential mantras will be taken up by me and it will be shorter and also more useful than going through so many mantras. Why so? Because there are so many upasanas and these upasanas, as I reminded you many times, are ancient upasanas. So in those days, how the teachers explained to their students and how their students were directed to contemplate upon, that we do not know. So the old Vedic gods, they have become transformed into three main modern deities. They are called Vishnu, Shiva and Shakti. And more or less, whether we talk of Ganesha, or Vigneshwara, or Kartikeya, or Surya Devata, or Agni Devata, they are all somehow related to these main three deities. But the methodology of the upasana remains the same, as I had already explained, with the help of certain illustrations. Upasana means by contemplating unbrokenly, continuously, one's idea that I am so and so is transformed into I am Ishvara, I am Hiranyagarbha. It starts with Virat. I am Virat. I am the universal. Then I am Hiranyagarbha. Then I am Ishvara. All these three together is called Saguna Brahma. I am Saguna Brahma. And only human effort can go that far. And after that, something automatically happens. When the person who succeeds in thinking that I am the Saguna Brahma, and the Saguna Brahma is a Vedantic term, in the language of the devotees, we can call Saguna Brahma by various names. Ekam Sat, Vipraha, Bahudha, Vadanti. As Rama, as Krishna, as Ganesha, as Parvati, Durga, Kali, by any blessed name, it doesn't matter. And that is the right concept also we have. God is everywhere. God is everything. God knows everything. And God is capable of doing anything He wants. So for His devotees, and a devotee is one who empties his heart and makes himself as the very servant of God, so to say. Then God bestows upon him, removes the last barrier and makes him attain Aham Brahmasmi. Whatever be the upasana or contemplation, this is the goal and this is the end. This is called Mukti. With this introduction, let us go further. So we have seen in the very first mantra that kings used to perform a great yagna called Ashvamedha Yagna or Yaga, where a horse is let out and when it returns back, the king gains mastery over all those people, then only he can perform this one, and it is very expensive, time consuming, and lots of people have to do it. And what is the result? Such a great king, through this act of ritual called Ashvamedha Yajna, attains Brahmaloka. But there are many other people who would like to attain that same Brahmaloka. How do they attain? Instead of doing physical yajna or yaga or sacrifice, if they go on doing the same thing, mentally, contemplating, which is called upasana, upasana is a mental contemplation. It has nothing to do physically. In modern puja, it is called manasa puja, mental worship. Worship and upasana, purpose is same, process also is the same. And they can also attain to Brahmaloka. And then only they become awakened truly. Even this Brahmaloka happiness is also very temporary. It comes to an end. But by the time the person understands, I do not wish to have a broken happiness. I want unbroken happiness. And in order to enjoy unbroken happiness, a person has to live, has to be conscious. That's why God is defined as Sat means to be, Chit means to be completely conscious, Ananda means to feel that I am not deriving happiness from something else. I am of the very nature of happiness. But from the very beginning, any ordinary person cannot have any idea about Brahman, but we can have some idea about Brahmaloka. How do we get this idea about Brahmaloka? That is why in the Taittiriya Upanishad, we get a very elaborate, but as a sample, the analysis of Ananda. From here, a person attains to Gandharva Loka, then Deva Loka, then Brihaspati Loka, then Prajapati Loka, then Brahmaloka. I only described very briefly. There were 11 descriptions were there. So now the purpose of this Ashva Upasana or meditation on the horse. The Ashva is only what we call a support, avalambana. Some support should be there. As I gave the example, a small stone shaped in a particular way is called Saligrama or Shivalinga, and to look upon this ordinary stone, not as a ordinary stone, but representing Lord Vishnu or Lord Shiva, Shivalinga, that is called Upasana. To see something very, very great in something very small, that is called Upasana. And as a result, the person's mind becomes great. That is why we say, whatever we think, that's what we become. If we think we are small, we will become small, if not already small. But if we think about God, then we will become God. Sri Ramakrishna contemplated on Hanuman, became Hanuman, even physically. He contemplated upon Radha and became Radha even physically. Contemplated upon Rama, became one with Rama. Contemplated upon Krishna, became one with Krishna. Contemplated upon Gopala, became one with Gopala. Contemplated upon Kali, became one with Kali. That is why we call him Sarva Deva Devi Swarupa. That means he has become Brahman. And Brahman can be called by various names, as Sri Ramakrishna teaches. So simple and yet profound. He gives the analogy of a lake or a big pond And then he says some people call the same substance called water. Some call it pani or jal. Some call it aqua, etc. But they all mean the same thing. Some call Allah, some call Hari, some call Divine Mother, but the substance is the same. So, the purpose of upasana is to slowly lift a sadhaka endowed with shraddha gradually, step by step, to that identity with Brahman. But the highest to such a step, not the roof, but the step, is called Brahmaloka. This is just the gist of what we have seen. And then we have also, in my last class, I read about the Ashva. And it starts with Ushava Ashvasya Methyasya Siraha. And then is a big mantra. What it says is, every part of the horse is to be comparable with this universe. Just as in this universe, we see five most important elements, the space, the air, the fire, the waters, and the earth. Everything is the combination of these five elements. So that is what we have seen. Time, space, and causation. That is what is called mind. That is what is called universe. Rest is a combination of all these things. That is the purpose of this upasana. And then whoever contemplates upon it, that is said in the second mantra. The first chapter has several brahmanas, but the first brahmana or section has only two mantras. And then that is a contemplation upon this entire universe. But slowly, by contemplating upon the horse as Virat, as the universal, Virat means universal, then we become universal. No longer do we say, I am an individual, but I become an individual. Swami Vivekananda used to make fun. You call yourself individual, but really, are you an individual? What is the meaning of the word individual? That which is indivisible. You are what is called several pieces. You are not really an individual. You have to become an individual, undivided. That is what is called Virat. And slowly from the physical universal to the mental universal, to the causal universal, which is called Ishvara, and the combination of these three is called Saguna Brahma. So, as we have discussed, the purpose of every upasana is to take one to the last step, which is called Brahmaloka. That is called Saguna Brahma also. Once a person goes to the Brahmaloka, then further effort is not possible. Because effort, any effort, every effort belongs only to the limited. But if we want to identify ourselves with the unlimited, then we just cease to have any action. Actually, that is what happens as we progress. All our efforts become less and still less and still less. And this is expressed in yogic language very beautifully. A billion, billion, trillion thoughts become a billion thoughts. A billion thoughts become a million thoughts. A million thoughts become a thousand thoughts. Thousand thoughts become 100 thoughts. 100 thoughts become 20, 5, 3, 2, and finally 1. That is called Savikalpa Samadhi. One single thought continuing, that is called Savikalpa Samadhi. That is as far as the self-effort goes. Otherwise, it regresses into ad infinity, and that is not desirable. Another thought to remove this thought. A third thought to remove the second thought. But God removes even that thought. We go beyond the gross, subtle, and causal. That is what we have to understand. all the mountains, all the rivers, every created being, living or non-living. So some samples are given, and that is all we need to know, that an ashva is only an excuse to make this contemplation. That is very important for us to know about this. That's all. Now, we enter into the second section or second Brahmanam. It is called Agni Brahmana. Now the Upanishad, Uchi Upanishad, I hope you remember, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it wants to talk about creation. I hope you remember, according to the Chandogya Upanishad, or let me put it this way, according to the Taittiriya Upanishad, the Atman has become space, manifested as space, space manifested as air, air manifests or becomes grossified as a fire, fire becomes grossified into water, and water becomes grossified as earth, prithvi, and the whole universe that we experience is a culmination and combination of all these five elements. That is the description according to Taittiriya Upanishad. When we come to the Chandogya Upanishad, we have seen only three elements are taken. Agni, Apaha, Prithvi. Now, in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, here, and if you compare with the Chandogya Upanishad, first is the fire. Fire gave birth to waters. Water gave birth to earth. Three elements. And they have given three colors also. We have discussed elaborately. Everything in this world consists of three colors. Even scientists also have made the same discovery. But in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, not other places, but in this particular place, the father, first creation is waters. That means water is the cause. Brahman becomes waters. Waters give birth to fire. And fire gives birth to prithvi. So this is how it is described here. Now don't go on getting confused. Why different Upanishads? The real purpose of the Upanishad is not to talk about creation. Because we think there is a creation, and creation is absolutely real so far as we are concerned, and the teachers come down to our level. Yes, 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 you are right. You have seen a ghost, and ghosts do exist, but that is not a good example because really ghosts exist. But there was a prince who used to think that a living snake entered into his stomach and slowly it is growing, and his stomach became bloated. He was always fearful, and most people tried, could not cure him. One clever villager, he said, I will easily cure. So he gave a big laxative at night, and the prince had big purge. And then immediately the man had an assistant. He brought a dead snake from outside, put it in the toilet, and as soon as the prince came out, he brought out and said, my medicine has worked. You have disgorged that the snake, and now you are free from that. It's all a psychological process. In fact, most of our diseases, according to psychologists, are only because of our psychological fears. People can have even heart attack if they are scared of too much, terrified of something too much. Anyway, the point is, the purpose of the description of creation is not to say that creation is real, but to take us step by step. This creation is an effect. Every effect must have a cause. And that cause will have its cause. And that third cause will have a fourth cause. But we must come to the highest cause, which is by itself is causeless. In other words, it is eternal. And that another name for that eternal, and that which is eternal can only be infinite, and that which is infinite can only be eternal. Ekameva advitiyam neha nanasti kinchana.
That is another name for it is Brahman. Just to distinguish from not getting confused with Brahma, so one N is added, that's all. Really in Advaita Vedanta we don't use the word Brahman, there is no un. Only Tamil, some Tamil names will be having that Subramanian, Ramanujan, like that. So it is only Brahma, short. Brahma is Saguna Brahma. So in this second Brahmana, it is actually a praise of Agni. Now to praise somebody, that someone must be existing. So if you find somebody who is really great, and who is very popular, who is very famous, naturally curiosity comes out. Who is his father? When was he born? How long he lived? What he did? All these things will come. So for that purpose, so people go on publishing short biographies if they are not admirers, big biographies if they are admirers, etc., etc. So here, Agni. Why Agni? Because it is our living itself is only because of Agni. Think of it, fire. Even our computer, thanda ho gaya. It is not going to work. It must be fiery. Your rocket. America was able to do so many things recently. It's all fireworks. And Diwali, we have small fireworks. But they have big fireworks. The difference is, there it can kill numberless people. So the point here is that Agni is eulogized. He is uplifted as a great person. And why does it, the Upanishad want to do that? Not the water, not the earth. Because it is our sun who is the very embodiment of our own selves. We are all small manifestations, small, infinitely small manifestations of the sun only. Because we are what we eat. And what we eat is a piece of the sun. If you are eating for breakfast, hamburger or toast, a piece of bread, anything, it is a piece of the sun. Food is piece of the sun. And sun means light and heat. And that heat portion, Agni, fire, that is what it means. Wherever there is fire, immediately from a long distance you can see it. And if you go near, you can feel the heat, light and heat. And this is the very cause of this entire creation. So the Upanishad, as I mentioned earlier, wants to praise as part of the contemplation on Agni. And from that Agni, the entire creation has come. And as I mentioned, don't go on saying or getting confused. Taittiriya Upanishad says something which caused the creation. Chandogya Upanishad says something else. And actually Chandogya Upanishad also says first only Agni, and it produced waters, and waters produced food or prithvi. And the entire creation is nothing but a combination of those three elements. But as I mentioned just now, in this peculiar way, that water is the cause of fire. Actually, everything is the cause of everything else. That is the truth. Anyway, this srishti, whether it is logical or illogical, and in which order it has to be presented, that's not the point at all. The point here is that this srishti is an alambana, and what is called a support. From here, slowly you have to, like that young ones of the Homa bird, we have to climb back to the very cause of everything, which is Brahma. That is the real purpose. Now, if we study the Upanishad without the commentary of Shankaracharya, this is how we have to understand. These are the essential points. Srishti is not important, but because we think it is real, the Upanishad doesn't say it is unreal. The definition of the Upanishad of the word unreality is that seeing a big thing as a small thing, that is called unreal. That which is a small piece, that which is ever-changing, that which is always dependent upon something else, that is called unreality. But in the end, that same Upanishad says, once you understand everything is the manifestation, not creation, but manifestation of Brahman, so you see a cow, that is Brahman. You see a dog, that is Brahman. You see a learned Brahmana, that is also Brahman. You see an eater of the flesh of dog, he is also Brahman. You see an elephant, that is a Brahman. You see a mosquito, that is also Brahman. Everything is Brahman. You see a mountain, that is also Brahman. Both the living, the non-living, the small, the big, no such thing. Everything is nothing but Brahman. But this vision, universal vision, that everything is Brahman, is possible only after reaching the cause. This is what Sri Ramakrishna explains, that this is not the roof, this is not the roof. Man goes on climbing until he reaches the roof, and then once he had the knowledge of the roof, when he comes down, so the staircase is made up of the same material like the roof, and all the steps are also made up of the same material. All the rooms are made up of the same material. Sri Ramakrishna is trying to mouth the same Upanishadic teachings in his own Saral Bhashaya Shikhale, simple words he is trying to tell. But here, in this second section, Shankaracharya wants to make a point. What is that? That because the very first mantra of the second section begins with a very peculiar statement, like we get in the Bible, God created the world out of nothing. Now, no rational person would ever accept it. Nothing can be created out of nothing. If something is to be created, it must be, there must be something. However subtle it is, it must be something. No logical, rational, thinking person can ever accept this kind of statement. So the commentators on the Bible itself explain, God has no other material. He is everything. Therefore, He Himself is the creator. But there are some peculiarities of these scholars, which I am not going into. But what Upanishads tell us is that for every product, every karya, a product is called a karya, an effect, must have three causes. The material cause, the intelligent cause, and then the instrumental cause. And therefore, the Upanishads tells us, since there is nothing else excepting Brahman, the logical conclusion is, He must be the material cause, He must be the intelligent cause, He must be the instrumental cause. For that, to make us understand that point, practically every Upanishad gives the example of the dream. When any one of us go to the state of the dream, dreaming, we see exactly like the waking state. Then, who is the creator, intelligent cause? Myself. And what is the material? My own mind. So, material cause and my thoughts are the instrumental cause. My intention, there is always an intention. Because my dream and your dream wouldn't be the same. A child is dreaming that lots and lots of lozenges are hanging just in front of him, but unfortunately out of reach. Same thing, a poor man is dreaming that lots and lots of money bags are hanging in front of him. So the desires are not different. Only according to our growing knowledge, we think that this is more important. After some time, something is more important. After some time, something else is important. That's all. The same baby does the same thing. So what is the point? The point is that Brahman alone is the one without a second. Ekam eva advitiyam. And if the statement of the Upanishad that this entire universe had come out of Brahman, then in this world we see that, as an example, a pot must have these three causes. What is the material cause? Clay. What is the instrumental cause? The potter's wheel. What is the intelligent cause? A potter decides how he wants to, how big, how small, what shape the pot should be made. So we see everything must have a cause. Every effect must have a cause. Whatever we experience is an effect. Every effect must have a cause. And every cause must be of three types: material, intelligent, instrumental. But before creation, only Brahman alone is ekameva advitiyam neha nanasti kinchana. Nothing else exists. Therefore, naturally, where are the three causes? And Advaita Vedanta proclaims loudly, he is the intelligent cause, and he is the material cause, and he is the instrumental cause. Though it is not necessary for us, but because you are such intelligent listeners, I am telling you, why does God want to create all these things at all? Was he bored by himself or what? For that they say, no, nobody knows about it. There is no answer for it. That is why when there is no answer, then it is called Leela. But why does he want Leela? Why do I attend a drama? Because I am bored. So you can't give the same argument with God. That is his will. Shakali tumari icha, icha mai tara tumi. You should not question what you cannot understand. Nobody can understand, nobody can answer, and therefore it is irrelevant why he did it. But what is relevant is that we are limited, severely limited. And if you elect some bad president, that limitation will become even worse. How to get out of this limitation? That desire is expressed in the form of asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, rutyor ma amritangamaya. And is there a way out? Yes, there is a way out. There is a beautiful saying, if there is a desire, there must be an object corresponding to that desire. If I want to become God, then there must be a God. Otherwise, the theory is, such a desire will never come. Do you ever desire that you want to fly like a bird? Yes, that is why you created an aeroplane. So this is the truth about it. Okay, now what am I going to talk about? Here, it is a hymn, a praise of Agni Devata, or Brahman in the form of Agni. And if we just read the Upanishad without a commentary, it just gives the translation. But then, Shankaracharya wants to write a big commentary, and in that commentary of Shankaracharya, the word pot has been used several times, many, many times. And the Sanskrit word for pot is called ghata. And therefore, this commentary is popularly known as ghata bhashyam. And why does Shankaracharya want to take this? Because I will just read out and give you a brief translation of it, why this topic at all had come up. So the Agni Brahmana, so this is the first chapter in the Brihadaranyaka, second section, first mantra, it says, Naivaiha kinchana agre asit, mrityuna eva idam avrutam asit. A very first sentence, iha means now, kinchana, agre means before creation, na eva iha kinchana asit. Nothing was there before creation. Brahman was not there? No. It simply doesn't say that. Simply, the statement is, there was nothing. And the whole universe came out of nothing. Now it is a very irrational statement. Because nothing can produce nothing. That is most irrational statement in the world. Because the use word of production is only with regard to something that is existing. You can't even talk about nothing created nothing. even that statement is an irrational statement. You can't talk about nothing, because if you talk also, it is nothing. So, this is the statement, beginning. And I have to confess that Shankara is looking for this kind of statements, because this rightest opportunity he gets, he wants to write a big bhashya, because so many things are boiling up within him. So this is called Ghata Bhashya. Now, just let me read out, because it is very good. This second section has got 7 mantras. I am not going to read out all of them. I am going to read out only the very first mantra. Naiveha kinchana agre asit, mrutyuna eva idam avrutam asit. Ashanayaya, ashanayahi mrutyuhu, tat manaha akuruta, atmanvi siyama iti, saha archat acharat, tasya archataha apaha ajayanta, archate vai me kim abhut iti, tat eva arkasya arkatvam, kam hava asmai bhavati yah evam etat arkasya arkatvam veda. The language is also very archaic language, but this is the meaning. In the beginning, that is to say before creation, there was nothing whatsoever in this universe. By death indeed, all this was covered. By hunger, for hunger is verily death. Let me have a mind, was his desire, and he created the mind. Then he moved about worshipping himself. Why was he worshipping himself? Because there was nobody else excepting himself. From him thus worshipping, water was produced. In fact, this applies to all of us. From birth to death, whom are we worshipping? Are you worshipping your mother and father? Yes. Why? Because they will give you food. For whom? For you. Why are you worshipping God? Because God will give you so many things. Purush, chaturvidha, purushartha, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, everything he will give. It is all self-worship only. That is why one Swami advised me, be selfish. He is stating one of the greatest truths in spiritual life. So, let me have a mind, was his desire, and he created the mind. Then he moved about worshipping himself. From him, thus worshipping, water was produced. Verily, death thought. While I was worshipping, water was produced. That is why the arka, fire used in the horse sacrifice, is so called. Surely, happiness comes to him who knows how the fire came to be called arka. This is the first mantra of the 7 mantras which we find in this 7th section. I am not going excepting where it is absolutely necessary. Now, this Upanishad begins with this topic, Srishti topic, with this statement, naiva iha kinchana naiva asit. A terrible statement it makes, that nothing was there before creation. Now this statement creates a big problem for all of us. When we say nothing was there before creation, it looks that the Upanishad talks of the Shunyavada, because there are some philosophers whose philosophy is that exactly it is the same. There was nothing. And how did creation start? Somehow it started. They can't explain, because there is no cause and effect relationship there. So there are some, what is called, schools of philosophy whose acharyas go on telling, and this is one of the Buddhist school of philosophy. It is called Shunyavada. Shunya means absolutely nothing. So as I mentioned, the Bible also says God created out of nothing. Everything comes out of nothing. And whatever comes out of nothing goes back into what? Nothing. Why? Because every effect must go back to its own cause. There is no doubt about it. So now Shankaracharya takes the example of a pot. You can take anything for that. An ornament you can take. A piece of furniture you can take. It doesn't matter. He takes pot. And is analyzing various theories of creation which existed at his time by various schools of philosophy and various acharyas, and he dismisses everything is wrong. What does he want to say? But there must be a cause, and not only there must be a cause, that cause alone is the effect also. Let me simplify it for you. You see a lump of clay. What do you see? You take out, you put your fingers and spread it all over. Do you see a pot? You don't see a pot at all. What do you see? That's all. A shapeless, formless lump of clay. That's all. It is formless. You have to remember that. Oh, it is flat form. Don't bring in this kind of stupid arguments. It is formless. Then what happens? You do some combination of some, mix with some water, make it some thick paste, and then keep it on a wheel and shape it there, and then finally bake it, and then it becomes a pot. So now the question is, was the pot there existing before in that clay? That is, one school of philosophy says, there is clay, but there is no pot. But there are even better schools of philosophy than that. Or at least they think not only there is no pot, there is no clay also. Nothing, that is called nothing. Nothing is there. These are called Sunyavadis. So Shankaracharya wants to prove that only a madcap, and madcaps are not considered as acharyas. So, only they can think like that. So this is called Ghatabhashya. And I will talk about this important summary of this Ghatabhashyam, but I will just give you one or two hints at it. If you see an effect, there is no doubt, you will have to accept there is a cause. And in this world, what is our experience? It is not the final cause. What we call a cause of any effect that we see in this world is not the final cause. For example, so the pot, what is its cause? Clay. But the clay itself is an effect of something else, because it is a combination of mud and water. In fact, earth and water. So there are two causes. What is the cause of the water? What is the cause of the mud? That is called prithvi. And then where from they have come? Oh, they have come from water. And water is an effect. Where from it has come? From fire. I am following Taittiriya Upanishad. Don't get confused. And where from fire has come? Because, you know, air. How did air produce? Because you go on churning like this, whether you want to bring out butter or not. So that is another example. Can you bring out butter out of nothing? And that is one of the peculiar examples Shankaracharya gives. If you can produce butter without milk, then you can produce butter out of anything, even water also. Then you don't need to buy any milk at all. So every cause must have its specific cause. So you go on. What is the cause of yourself? Your parents. What is their cause? Their parents. Go on like that. Finally, you must come to a causeless cause, a final cause, which is eternal. Eternal means birthless. Birthless means it doesn't have any other cause. So, it dismisses. This is one of them. And then there are some wonderful things are there called what is called cognition, what is called recognition. And everything is a piece of thought. Beautiful ideas, they are not necessary for our spiritual progress, but definitely they stimulate our intellect, and this we will take up in our next class and proceed further. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.